We're at the St. Joseph Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church. And today we are going to be looking at a subject called the Holiness Highway. The Holiness Highway, and we take as our base text Isaiah 35:8, if you'll turn there with me. As usual, we're going to be going through these things fairly rapidly, and if you're not fast with your Bible, you might want to take some notes and go over these things later. Those of you that will be listening by way of internet, you will be able to play it back and hear it again. So let us go forward. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway shall be there. And of course, we're reading from the King James Version, as our tradition is here at the St. Joseph. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. It is a holiness highway. And today I have drawn on the board a scene. And on that scene we have various scriptures, but we have two main categories of law. There are spiritual laws and there are physical laws. And all of these laws are important to the human being. We are made up of physical, mental, and spiritual parameters. To be a healthy person, we must be holy. In fact, the word holy and healthy, the words holy and healthy, are quite the same. The root of the word holy is really heal or healthy. To be healthy, we must be mentally sound, physically sound, and spiritually sound. Today we're going to look at spiritual laws and physical laws, but first, we want to look at law, period. Let's look at Romans 4, Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, why is it that Satan would want to do away with law? Well, if he can do away with law, he can do away with transgression. And if he can do away with transgression, he can do away with the need of a Savior. And if he does away with the need of a Savior, then he has succeeded in doing away with Christ. And lawlessness today is rampant, even within the so-called Christian churches. In fact, it is not only rampant, it is being advocated, however subtle it might be. So, without law, there would be no transgression. Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. If we're driving down a highway and there are no speed limit signs, we really don't have any idea how fast we can go. We may know how fast we can go safely, but we may not know how fast the community or society that has jurisdiction over that road would allow us to drive within law. But if there are signs up, now on this picture we have a sign. It says speed limit rest. That's very significant. We'll get back to that. But where there is a speed limit sign, that is a law that has been established by society that has jurisdiction over that road. And as a Christian, we're called to give respect to society's laws, as long as they do not violate the law of our Father in heaven. But if they do not put up a sign, we do not know, and so we just drive according to the Spirit's guiding, according to what's safe. But if they had established a law for that road, and they had put up a sign, and then someone had knocked it down, and we did not see it, and we violated the speed limit, we would be guilty of violation, in fact. But if we were stopped, and the law enforcement person was reasonable, and he knew that the sign had been knocked down, and we had no way of knowing what the speed limit was, he would probably give us a warning ticket and say, next time you know, you'll know. And so, as it says there in Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. When the sign is not standing erect so that we can read it, the violation is not imputed or held against us. So many in this day will claim ignorance. They will say, well, I didn't know what God required. Well, I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, that this book has not been knocked all the way down yet. This book is still one of the most popular books in the world. By God's grace, the Bible is still in many, if not most, homes. And no man can say, I did not know what God required. Because they can read for themselves. And God will not hold them accountable. He will not impute to them more than they were able to understand. Isn't He a loving and merciful Father? And so, according to our ability to read and understand and comprehend and apply, we are held accountable. Romans 3:19-20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, we could take probably an hour and talk about those two scriptures, but suffice it to say that when there is a law within a particular jurisdiction, everyone is held accountable for that law. Now, the laws of God have jurisdiction over the whole earth. There is no city ordinance, there's no county ordinance, there's no national ordinance. Yah's law is universal. And we are all under the jurisdiction of that law. But we are not under the penalty of that law if we are law keepers. Only lawbreakers are under the penalty of that law. But we have all sinned and come short of the glory of Yah, and therefore we have been guilty. Sin was imputed to us. And most of us, if not all of us here present at least, have found salvation in the Messiah. We have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We have been given a chance to repent be reborn, and become law keepers. We have a guilt bearer, we have a sin bearer in Yahshua the Messiah, and we now have opportunity to travel the highway of holiness by His grace. Romans 13:10 tells us the reason for observing God's laws. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you know that everyone that loves is a law keeper? Everyone that loves is a law keeper. Now, there are some who keep the law in a certain vein who have no love. And they are legalists. They just do what's right to keep from getting the ticket. There are many today that have what they, I call it fire insurance. They go to church and they observe the rules and they even get saved. They like that phrase, get saved, but they don't know what from. They aren't really saved at all. They have just purchased life and fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell and burn forever, and so they go to church and get saved and keep the rules. Well, maybe some of the rules. Basically, what they do is they just listen to the preacher real close, and whatever rules he keeps, they keep so they stay out of trouble. They're following a man. But it's not the right one. If we're not following the man of love, if we're not following the man Christ Yahshua, we're only participating in a faulty plan of fire insurance. It will not work either. It will not save anyone from anything. That insurance is man-made, it's devil-made, and it has no love in it. Without love, it is impossible to keep the law. But with love, it is impossible to break the law. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. We delight to do the law. We love to do His commandments. Why? Well, because we love Him. And why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. He showed us real love. One time I was disciplined by someone that I very much respected. And I was disciplined very sternly. And before they disciplined me, they told me, "Chick, it is because I love you that I'm doing this." I sort of questioned that in my mind at the time. I thought, this is love? This is going to hurt me. What does Christ say? He that I love, I what? I rebuke and chasten. Well, you see, I had not really come to understand real love. I thought love was just freedom to just do whatever you want to do and go where you want to go and eat what you want to eat. But you know, after a time, I realized that man loved me. I realized that man wanted what was good for me. I realized that I was rebelling against love. And so it is. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And yes, we love discipline. As a church, as the body of Christ, we love discipline. One time I had a teenager come up to me after a sermon. And of course, pastors and evangelists and preachers and teachers always like a warm fuzzy, you know. It's a nice thing that someone appreciates what you have to say. Once in a while, it's good to even hear an amen back there in the audience. As long as it doesn't disrupt the worship of others. But sometimes someone will come to you after a sermon and they will say, "Pastor, it struck home with me. The Spirit spoke to my heart today." And we can embrace and, oh, it's such a joy. And the tears flow, you know how it is. But one day, this teenager came to me and he said, "Pastor, you said something in your sermon that didn't quite set with me." And I had used a slang expression. You see, we believe that our Father is teaching us language reform. Speak a pure language. Now, some people are carrying that to the point to where we're going to have to speak Hebrew, and so be it if that's the case. But at least as long as I'm speaking English, I want it to be a pure form of English. Well, he said, he sort of caught me off guard, and he said, "Pastor, you said this, and it just didn't hit me right." Yes, Joshua, you're right. You are absolutely right. And I embraced that young lad and said, "Thank you, you've saved my soul. Because I can repent of that and I can make it right before my Father and before the congregation." Now, if he had kept his mouth shut, none of the others seemed to be bothered with it. And if they were, they wouldn't say anything. Maybe fear of offending the pastor, or fear of making waves, or whatever it might be. Now, this young man wasn't being nitpicking. I'm not talking about that. We don't nitpick people. We don't fault-find people. But if there's something out of line in the family, we want to make it right. We want discipline. We want to be brought into the highway, not in the ditch on either side. You know, there's the radicals on one side. There's the free radicals on one side and the bound radicals on the other. We want to be ambassadors for Christ right down the highway, smiling all the way, joyously sharing the truth as it is in Yahshua. So this is law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Why do we keep the commandments of God? Because we love Him. Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's the fruit of it. It's the proof of it. Children who love their parents enjoy pleasing their parents. Amen. They do. Parents says, "Would you mind taking out the trash, honey?" When you open up that trash and you go, "Oh, I can't stand it. The trash stinks. It's not a very pleasant job." Maybe that's why some of the trash collectors get paid so well. But anyway, the children sometimes, in the beginning, they might have trouble with taking out the trash. I did. But the Holy Spirit says, "We love each other. Your parent wouldn't ask you to take out the trash if they didn't love you." That's Yah giving you an invitation to be helpful. Oh, thank you, Father. I have a part to play in the family. I was the toilet man in the military. I had the responsibility for cleaning the toilets. Little latrine, thank you. The head in the Navy. And you know, I did a good job. And the guys really appreciated it too. Because who wants to go into a public facility and find a dirty bathroom? Ooh. But you know, a clean bathroom makes the experience so pleasant. And I had that job. And then after I got out of boot camp, I got to be pots and pans man. Oh, I never liked to wash the dishes. But I had that opportunity, and I had that blessing. Oh, today, don't you think one moment that I'm going to complain about washing dishes or pots and pans. No. My Father in Heaven taught me that's a good job. Because people like to eat food out of clean pots and pans. And I like to eat myself. And I don't like to eat out of dirty dishes.
Amen.
So when we love, and when we are loved, all things fit together in a beautiful picture. And even the garbage man and the pots and pans man has an important part to play in that. I'm not devaluating those positions. I'm using those as examples only because we all know, probably from experience, that can be potentially unpleasant at times. But in Christ, all things are pleasant. Nothing is burdensome. Now, on the board we have spiritual laws, physical laws. Let's go to the spiritual laws. Truth. Psalm 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Okay. God's law is the truth. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. God's law is holy. It's healthy. It's just. And it's good. 1 Timothy 1:8-10. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, people will say, okay, right there it is. It's not for the Christian. It's for the lawless one. Let us not mistake here at all. The law must be presented to the lawless one to educate them. It's for them to educate them, to bring them to Christ. Now, we, as Christians, we don't need to look at the law, really. We have it in our hearts. We looked at it. We became educated. We know what it is. We know it's the will of our Father. When we're born again, we allow Him to write that upon our hearts and minds. We would not necessarily have to read it again, because it's in us. It's a part of us. In the new earth, it should never have to be written down, because it's already written down. It's written in our hearts. We are law keepers. Lawlessness is far from us, buried in the deepest sea. I was visiting with a Christian brother this week, and each time I visit him, he tries to profane the name of Christ by saying, "Well, we sin, don't we?" He likes to rib me because my testimony is that I do the will of my Father in heaven. I do not commit willful sin. If I commit willful sin, I prove of what spirit I am. For he that sins is the servant of sin. John chapter 8, I believe it is. If you're the servant of sin, you're a sinner. We have been set free from sin.
Hallelujah.
We have been set free from the bondage and yoke of sin. And we are yoked up with Yahshua the Messiah, and we go in freedom.
Amen.
To the city of God. I am sick and tired of Christians giving testimonies of sin. It's blasphemy. If we can pick up a toothbrush and brush our teeth in the morning, if we have sense enough to go to the bathroom when we get a pain in our stomach, if we have enough intelligence to go sit down at a table and eat a meal, then we have enough intelligence to resist temptation and turn away from sin. We have the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift. The Holy Spirit, let me tell you, folks, brothers and sisters, all around the world, let me say to you that God is stronger than Satan. And the life of righteousness is stronger than the life of unrighteousness. I serve the Creator of the universe, and He is all-powerful. He is the Almighty One of Israel. And if He can take me from the pits, if He can take me from alcoholism, if He can take me from whoredom, if He can take me from every wicked thing and sit me behind the desk, this sinful flesh, 70% to 85% water, if He can take me and remake me into a new vessel, fit, honorable, usable, and give me His gift of the Spirit of God, I can follow. I can be a sheep. I can follow. I can follow Him down the highway of holiness. For I have no strength of my own. I have no power of my own. I can't take one step on my own. But through His power, through His guidance, through the light that He shines on my path, Thy Word is a light unto my path. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. His promises are yea and amen. And all who have love in their hearts can respond. If we respond in humility and lay ourselves at the foot of the cross, He lifts us up and sets us on a rock and says, "My child, you are free. You have the liberty of righteousness now. You don't have to live a dysfunctional life anymore." Oh, it's good news. And we need to share this good news with the world. Spiritual laws are good news. The Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 3 through 17. Let's not, we're getting a little short on time today. I'm giving you that reference for the Ten Commandments. We may come back and read those in a minute. They were written by the finger of Yah, Exodus 31, 18. We might want to read that. Exodus 31, 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of Yah. That's the word of Yah. The law of Yah is the word of Yah, written with his own finger. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are Yah's work. Exodus 32:16. And the tables were the work of Yah, and the writing was the writing of Yah, graven upon the tables. This is the Creator's work. The lawgiver, James 4:12. James 4:12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We have one judge, one lawgiver. James 2:10 through James 2 verses 10 through 12 gives us a very, very critical understanding of law. Verses 10 through 12 of chapter 2 of James. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So, speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The Ten Commandments is the law of liberty. We are set free through the blood of Christ, that we might be lawful children, loving children. Some say, well, how is it we break one, we've broken them all? I don't understand that concept. That's because they don't understand love. If you have love, you would rather die than break one. Those that have love don't say, okay, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I love this one. Oh, I don't like this one. I like this one. I don't like that one. They can't pick and choose which ones they like. Those who have love like it all. They take the bitter with the sweet, too. They take the trials with the blessings. Because they know, they have enough wisdom, they have enough trust in our Father to know that the trials become blessings. Every trial becomes a blessing. What is the great commandment? Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yahshua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah, thy Almighty, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And love without discipline is not love at all. Love without reproof is not love at all. We have the message of Elijah. And Elijah went before a wicked king and rebuked him. And stood before Israel and rebuked them and called them to judgment. No, we are not to judge individuals, but we can judge wicked and perverse systems, and we can judge wicked and perverse denominations or denominations. If God's people don't stand up and be counted, who will? This nation has been greatly blessed by God. In America, United States of America may still be the best country to live in the world. But this nation has backslidden further and further each day, each year, further and further until this nation is going to ruin. They won't turn around. They won't turn to their Maker. They're on a highway, but it's not the highway of holiness. It's the highway to hell. But because of a few righteous men, Yah does not destroy. Because a few have not yet knelt to Baal, our Father is seeking souls. Holding the doors of mercy open. Yet another day. Perhaps another year. None know how long, but the voice of mercy is sounding in your ears today. How long will you try Him? Yes, spiritual law. Spiritual law is truth. Yah's law is holy, just, and good. He wrote the Ten Commandments with His very finger. And love is the fulfilling of law. Matthew 19:16-19. And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Yahshua said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yah. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Yahshua said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Interesting story. The one that the young man was guilty of, he did not mention specifically. Gives us a little example in gentle rebuke. He purposely left that specific one out so that the young man would wonder about that and that the Spirit might touch his heart and say, Oh, He loved me. He didn't condemn me, He just loved me. Let us be gentle, brothers and sisters. Let us be careful when we're correcting and reproving others, with our children, with our church family. It's so easy to feel condemned. But there is no condemnation in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Yeshua. Romans 8. But let us be careful. Let us not neglect duty, but let us be careful that we don't say it in a way that would strip them of anything except the sin. John 3:3. John 3:3 and 16. Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. And over to verse 16, For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe in him? To believe in Yahshua means to believe what Yahshua believes. This mind we have, this mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ. We have his thoughts. We have his beliefs. We have his faith. And when we think his thoughts, when we live his faith, we walk the holiness highway, step by step, as he walked. Now, if you don't believe it, it won't be true for you. I think it's Matthew 9. Let's see. Is it Matthew 9:19? That's one, the reference slips my mind quite often, but Yahshua said, Be it unto you as your faith. In other words, what you believe will come true. For example, if you believe you're going to commit a sin, if you believe you're weak and heavy laden and you're going to commit sin, that's what's going to happen to you. But if you believe that your faith is invincible, if you believe that you're a winner, if you believe and know that you've been born again in Christ, you can't help but succeed. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The righteous, the just, shall live by faith. People always give me a hard time about my testimony. I live the faith of Yahshua. My faith is invincible. I have the mind of Christ. Is there anything wrong with that? The Scripture says it. I believe it. And I'm not going to contradict it. And because I give that testimony, because I believe that testimony, it happens in my life. It creates itself. Yah creates it in my life because I believe it with all my heart. Well, are you infallible? Of course not. I'm a man. But I've partaken of the divine nature through his precious promises. I believe his promises. They're yea and amen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. It's one thing to be a conqueror, but we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. I can see this is going to have to go into part two next week. We're going to have a part two on the physical laws. Today will be the spiritual laws. I see we even have a category of civil laws down here we need to look at some point. John 17:3. John 17:3. And this is life eternal. Here it is, the definition. Life eternal. that they may know thee, the only true God, and Yahshua the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. The definition of life eternal. The question is today, dearly beloved, do they know the only true God? Do they know the Messiah? Obviously, those who are in violation of the precepts of Yah do not know Him. If they knew Him, they would gladly and lovingly abide in His love and in His laws. Now, all of us in this circle love His law. We've come to know Him, we come to love His law, and we would rather die than commit a wrong act. Oh, that they might know that love and that peace that surpasses all understanding. Whosoever will, come and drink freely of the water of life, that you may never thirst again. And that law would take on the correct meaning in your lives. That the Ten Commandments, which include the Sabbath day, by the way. No one argues with us about the other nine. It's the Sabbath that they argue with us about. And of course, we don't want to argue. We just want to love. But you see, the Sabbath is a sign of those that are His true children. The Sabbath is a sign of His creative power, His redemptive power. It is a picture of that rest and that peace, the speed limit through which we go through life in total trust of the Creator who made everything, who made the laws, who designed us. Well, next week, or the week following, whenever Yah chooses, we will go into part two of the Holiness Highway. And we will talk about those physical laws like gravity, centrifugal force, inertia, friction, expansion, contraction, and these things, which include health laws. Those things that give us prosperity and the abundant life that the Creator wants us to live. I encourage all of you to set yourselves looking forward, not looking back, forgetting those things behind, but pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of Yah in Christ Yahshua. You will march, speed limit rest, right down the Holiness Highway, and invite others along the way. We are a parade, you know, and there are others along the highway doing their thing out there, but they're looking around and they see us marching down this Holiness Highway, and it's like a parade, and they come over and they say, look at these people. There's something different about them. And we say, come, join the parade. Join the parade. It's a wonderful life, living the life of Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You so much for Your love to us. We thank You that You have given us good laws, that You have educated us, and more than that, You have written Your laws in our hearts. Your laws are not grievous. They're not burdensome to us. We love them. They are very, very good for us. And You are not a Father that gives anything but good gifts. Your spiritual laws are holy, just, and good. Your law is the truth. Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. And Father, we have found the answer to life's problems. We have found the answers to all of our questions and perplexities in Christ. Thank You, Father. Thank You for giving us Your only begotten Son. And thank you for giving us the holiness highway to march down until we get to the end of our course and march right through the gates of the city. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, answering our prayers, and blessing us with the Sabbath blessing. In Yahshua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.